Podcast. I am your host. I am the Rooster. Here with my co-host, Merlin. Each week, we will discuss current events, relationships, careers, and so much more. Journey with us as we try to make the most out of everyday life, and as we probably will discover that we're all more alike than we think. To another episode of the Rooster's Nest. I'm here with my co-host Merlin.
Hello.
And tonight we wanted to talk to you about just kind of like who we are and what this is supposed to be all about for us, I think. Now we might take a rabbit trail or two or six, you never know, but kind of the bottom line is we just want to introduce you to us. We'd like you to get to know us a little bit better. And, you know, through the course of all of this, we'd like to get to know you as well. So while you're at it on whatever venue or app that you are listening to us, hit the like, hit the subscribe. That way you're notified when we do put out new episodes. The goal is to put out a new episode every week or so. Ideally, every week we'd be cranking one out, but as most of you know, life gets in the way. Right, Marilyn?
That happens quite frequently.
So, anyway, yeah, about every week or so we'd like to push out another episode. And realistically, like time-wise, they can range anywhere from, we'll say, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on what we're doing, what our topic is, what our guests want to talk about, and really what you guys want to talk about. You know, you, our audience, we couldn't do it without you, obviously. This is a labor of love at this point, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here, but you know, we're pretty open-minded to see where things go. Is there anything you want to add?
I think that sounds like a good plan.
Good place to start. All right. So in our first episode, we kind of talked about Black Friday and we did some other stuff, but what I want to do this time is talk about us a little bit. And I know it gets a little awkward when we talk about ourselves, but I want the audience to know, like, we're regular people. We're not anything special. We're special to each other, obviously, but you know, I'm just a guy who gets up every day, and you're just a girl that gets up every day, and we go to work and we do the things that we have to do to make a living, to, you know, make our life what it is and what we want it to be. And honestly, I think that's kind of the direction of the podcast is, you know, dealing with everyday challenges, not only as a married couple, a couple in a relationship with each other, but also, you know, like just the challenges that everyday folks run into. And right now there's a lot of them.
Especially with just season of life changes, the different seasons of marriage. There's a lot that changes through time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, since we're going to be talking about ourselves, I think a great segue into talking about Merlin and Rooster. We both had birthdays at the end of November. And one of the gifts that we provided to each other is we got a matching tattoo.
Yeah, we sure did, didn't we?
I know what a lot of you are thinking, like, that's crazy. Why would you do that? However, we didn't get each other's names tattooed on ourselves. So that's a positive thing. I think we've gotten away from that. The design that we found, it matches who we are as a couple and who we are as individuals as well. So if any of you follow astrological signs, you know that it's very uncommon for two of the same astrological signs to be in a relationship with each other.
For very long, at least. Yeah, no, that's true.
So Rooster and I are both fire signs. We are Sagittarians, and we wear that proudly. And I would say that in relationship, when things are good, they're good. And when things are bad, they're bad. It's like one extreme to the other.
Yeah, I don't know that we would have bad times. I would just say challenges along the way.
That's much more politically correct.
Definitely, definitely challenges. Yeah, we've had challenges for sure.
So let me describe for you the tattoo. It is the sign of an arrow. And the tree is the point of the arrow. And then it comes down on one side is kind of the beach theme. And on the other side is kind of the mountains and the forest theme. And that matches Rooster and I. Rooster was born, well, he wasn't born there, but he grew up in California. He loves the water. He loves the beach. He loves the heat. And I, on the other hand, grew up in the mountains with the trees and the leaves and the rivers. So this really is a good representation of the two of us, both Sagittarians. However, we are also complete opposites.
It's kind of ironic. I'll try to upload that either to the album art for this episode, or I'll link it to our Instagram, which our Instagram, in case you're interested, is roosters_nest208. So that's, we'll start using that for the show for our Instagram. So the tattoo is kind of cool. It's kind of neat. Like it's unique to both of us. We both have, you know, our individual points on it.
So let's get back to who we are. So I just described to you a little bit about our tattoos and their meaning. And I think it might be good, you know, Rooster, do you want to kick off kind of like where you were born and how you ended up here?
Oh my God. You want my life story? I was born in Canada. My parents were American, obviously. They, my dad was in the United States Air Force at the time. He was stationed in Canada. That's where I hail from, if you will. Since then, you know, just had a traditional suburban growing up. As a kid, we grew up in kind of the eastern part of San Diego County in San Diego, California. Went to school there and still have some lifelong friends that live down in that area. And went into the military.
Hold on. Let's back that up. Back that train up. So while Russ was in school, he has neglected to share with you that he was on a swim team and is a phenomenal swimmer. And has amazing cardiovascular capability as a result, even in his old haggard age.
I was a varsity swimmer in my freshman year through my junior year, went to state champions in California. And I'm not sure, but there may be a state record that I may have set back in the day.
And he was also a band geek.
Oh, yeah. But I was a drummer, so, you know.
And I've heard stories that, just like in American Pie, it's getting kind of crazy at band camp.
Band camp was the best. I have, actually, you know what, we'll probably have one of our dear friends, or more of our dear friends, that were there in those days, hop on the show one of these times, just to shoot the shit and reminisce, because that'll be a hoot.
So anyway, I just had to back that train up to put those key details in there before he.
But yeah, so out of high school, went into the military, spent some time in the military doing some high speed stuff until there was an injury. Injury forced me out of the military and into civilian land, where I started my career as a paramedic over in the Tacoma area of Washington State. And I worked in that area as a, you know, firefighter, EMT, paramedic for about 15 years over there. while doing that, I was able to really expand some skill sets with the people around me. I've always been kind of a teacher, so naturally fell into an instructor type or leadership type role. I've always had kind of a type A or Sigma type personality. And we can dive into those personalities in another show, because I think it'll take a whole show to go through those personalities in and of themselves. Military, came out, civilian land, worked that for a while, got married, popped out two kids who are pretty amazing. My son, actually both, my son and my daughter are set to get married in the next year or so. So that's kind of exciting and scary proposition in and of itself. At some point, we moved to Spokane, and my world was shaken up. Went through my one and only divorce in my life, which I don't recommend that to anybody, because divorce sucks. But I think it was for the better. So I was able to find myself, find what makes me work. And then I also found this angel sitting across the table from me. She literally has saved my life. And I actually even mentioned this at dinner tonight, and she still doesn't understand like the how or the why, but I can absolutely assure you that had you not come into my life, I probably would be on a way different trajectory. And that's if I was still alive, because I have a feeling I probably wouldn't still be alive had you not come into my life. But I digress. And here we are today, like, I don't know, what, 15 years later, 15 years of marriage. And, you know, I wouldn't trade a day of it, because you're pretty fucking amazing.
It's been a journey.
Journey is one way to put it.
It's been a journey. But I mean, we're going to revisit this. And that's part of what this podcast is about, is that with everything in the world, there's so many different pieces and they're like a puzzle. And how do you put that together? And how do you have someone to help you navigate that? And we've gone through some stuff that we want to share with you, so you know you're not alone and you can still grow from these challenges, from the journey, all of it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and, you know, and obviously, like, just like in anything, you know, mistakes were made along the way and we've corrected them. And, you know, like even in our relationship, you know, like, I hope you don't mind, but, you know, Mandy this morning when she woke up, she had kind of a need for a day at home. And part of that was because she was mad at me. And, you know, we were able to have a conversation and, you know, kind of discuss the issue at hand. And I'm not going to get into the issue at hand, but it wasn't anything crazy. I'll just tell you that. We had a conversation. She came to understand why I did something that I did that irritated the crap out of her. And I think we're on a better plane. She hasn't been mad at me all day, so that's good.
Additionally, I'll add that Rooster also apologized and acknowledged that he made an error in his decision making.
I could have.
So it wasn't just me being angry or upset, but I think that's probably one of the biggest, most important pieces of marriage, is having the ability to be upset about something and still have a conversation and know that we don't have to be angry and offer the silent treatment and be ugly to each other or have any violence involved in it.
No, definitely not.
And with all of the television shows, you wouldn't know that these days. And with the broken homes and the trauma, sometimes I think for some people, those kinds of things just fall out. But I love, there's a meme that is floating around. I'll see if I can find it. And it shows an elderly man and woman sitting on a bench while it's raining outside. And it said, "Love is," and it has the picture of him holding an umbrella over her head while he's getting sopping wet while they're mad at each other.
There you go. Yeah.
So.
Yep. No, and the beauty of our relationship, and I know not every relationship is like this, but the beauty of our relationship is neither one of us stay mad at each other for very long. You know, you might get upset at me or vice versa, which doesn't happen very often, but it's happened, you know, where, you know, whatever whatever has happened, and it's either irritated or disappointed, or you know, you feel let down, or whatever the feeling is that you feel, generally speaking, within 24 hours, you know, usually less time, but within 24 hours, we've had a conversation, we've expressed our feelings, we've expressed whatever it was that frustrated us or disappointed us or upset us. And the beautiful thing about you is, you know, you can express yourself as a person and say what's on your mind, at least to me, say what's on your mind and know that you're, you know, in a judgment-free area where I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And I'm going to take to heart whatever it is that you have to say. And if I'm in the wrong, you know, I'm going to acknowledge that.
Eventually.
Well, and like
that doesn't
I said,
always happen it, like in that order.
But. It might happen, you know, like I said, usually within 12 to 24 hours.
Weird shit will happen where, you know, you're really angry. You're not wanting to talk to each other right now. You're going to come back to it, you know, circle back to that issue, maybe
circle
in a day or so. And you go to sit on the toilet and somebody didn't replace the toilet paper. And so then you have to call for assistance while you're pissed off at this person. And then somehow we end up, you know, recovering from that anger.
You just laugh. You just gotta laugh.
That's the kind of shit that goes down in our household.
No, it's definitely wild for sure.
But I digress. So we gotta finish with your story. Who is the rooster? And you were just talking about your journey to Spokane, the two of us meeting.
Yep. I moved against my will to Spokane, which at the time I had no idea like what Spokane was all about.
Welcome, dude.
I don't regret the move. I wish it would have happened under different circumstances. But at the time, my first marriage was not doing well. It was, we'll say it was put on life support. At that point, that was the final round of chemotherapy, basically. And it didn't last. You know, we moved and within a year, the marriage was done. You know, I don't want to use this platform to talk bad about anybody, but there were some pretty serious lessons that were learned. You know, I was able to grow significantly from the experience. I think that's a very nice way to kind of leave that part of that chapter of my life. Without it, I would not have moved to this area and I would not have met you and changed my life for the better.
It's not to be without its challenges, though. I mean, something that,
oh, yeah,
that you're probably not going to freely share, but I'm going to do it for you, is, you know, when we met, Russ was working for, so he had a full-time job and he was working for what they call a resident fire department. So he's
a resident firefighter for a local volunteer fire department.
As a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And so as a requirement, you had to pull so many shifts and then they allowed you a bunk bed basically to sleep on and stay at. And that was Russ's home. That was his home. And then he got up from there and went to work at his full-time job and then had to come pull a certain amount of shifts so that he would have a roof over his head because as a single parent, which many of you, I'm sure, can relate.
Oh, my God.
The expense is significant with, you know, in his case, he had child support. Mm-hmm. And then you have your living expenses and you're making practically nothing, especially in Spokane, Washington at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would, when he had visitation with his kiddos, you know, he was renting a hotel room or taking them camping because they obviously couldn't stay at the fire station. You know, those are challenges. That is a challenge to be able to be a single parent, financially survive, and still be there as a parent for your kids.
It would have been very easy to be that piece of shit parent that, you know, just turns their back and doesn't support them. Or I love both my kids very much. And when they were growing up, you know, I was the dad who worked overnight. I worked a 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. shift. I came home, you know, and by the time I got home, I'm getting the kids up. I'm getting them ready for school. You know, I'm getting them to school, you know, and then coming home and sleeping while I can, usually about 4 or 5 hours, go pick them up from school, get them home, and then go to work for, you know, 12 to 24 to 36 hours, depending on what my schedule required. So yeah, those days were absolutely a challenge. But I look back on them now and I don't know that I would really do anything different because I loved my kids. I really enjoyed them when they were younger. And I, you know, honestly, I enjoy them now even when I get to spend time with them. So that that's been kind of a treat, you know, seeing them as an adult. Well, mainly my son. But so anyway, so yeah, so I moved to Spokane, was living in the fire department for a while. Marilyn and I decided to get hitched. After a few years of dating, and
hold on, let's back up again.
You are cracking me up. He's leaving out all the juicy stuff, you guys.
Oh my god! Okay, so I guess that's why I have you here. Is to
so check this out. So check this out. Does anybody remember MySpace? Right?
Oh my god!
You do, because everybody loved MySpace. It's because you could put your music on your page, man. I think Facebook needs to bring that shit in. Anyway, Facebook. Or I'm sorry, MySpace was like all the rave. And so I get on there and I type in my zip code to see like who's living in my area. I'm like reconnecting with all of these people from high school. It was wild. And then I see all these pictures of all these firemen next to a pole. I'm like, what's the deal with these firemen's pictures next to the pole? All these profiles. So I send off a message to one. It happens to be the rooster. And he replies wanting to know all kinds of things, you know. And I thought he was kind of creepy, so I said, yeah, we're not doing this.
Oh, be nice. Be nice. Come on now, be nice.
We're not doing this. So, you know, I don't hear from the guy. We go our separate ways after our interaction online. And then...
It was horrible.
I had just gotten finished working out. We lived in a small town, y'all. And while I was working out, I had to go to the store. Or after I was done working out, I had to go to the store and pick up some food so that I could... go to my sister's house for dinner, and while I was in line, guess what? This whole gaggle of firefighters was in front of me buying their dinner.
Dum, da, da, dum.
And, you know, I'm sorry. A guy in uniform, it's just every time it's going to just be amazing. And so we're in the line, and they get their stuff. I'm right behind them. And before they leave, he throws his receipt down and says, oh, that's too many sixes. How about I get your number instead? And I gave it to him. And the rest is history.
Little did she know she was signing her life away that day.
It was meant to be, obviously, because not only did we try to connect via MySpace, then we ran into each other classically at the grocery store. And I don't think many people can say that anymore.
Well, I would say that was an organic meeting at the grocery store because you weren't planning to see us there and we weren't planning, you know, me and the rest of the crew weren't planning to see you there either. We just happened to literally like bump into you.
Yes, this is true.
While we were there. So
this is true. No,
it's kind of interesting.
So Russ and I dated for a while, and we didn't just decide to get hitched. We actually dated for, we dated for 2 years when he proposed. And keep in mind, this is after he shared with me that he's never, ever getting married again.
That's right. Swear I would never do it.
You know, we did live in sin. I invited him and the kids to come live in my home. But that, and I'm going to go back to that. The reason for that was the person that I loved, I didn't want to see be homeless because he had to get with his new job. He couldn't pull those resident shifts anymore, which would have meant that he wouldn't have had a home. He would not have been able to financially afford a home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, so now you can continue on to, we decided to get hitched.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh my goodness. Well, I was just going to go broad strokes, but you want to get down in the weeds. So.
It's not the weeds. This is serious information. Juicy deets.
Right? Yeah. Anything that anyone ever wanted to know about us, right? There we go. So, yeah. So, we got hitched on the beach in San Diego County.
We eloped.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, marriage, I don't know if anyone has tried to get married these days or in the last 20 years, but trying to make everybody happy is fucking impossible.
You could say that again.
It's absolutely impossible. And we spent months, literal months, trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, hey, we could do it this day, or we could do it that day. Oh, that's not going to work for so-and-so. Okay, well, let's try this day. Oh, well, that's not going to work for this big group of people. And anyway, long story short, we had a
timeshare,
kind of a loosely planned trip centered around the kids' summer vacation. And I think to this day, my daughter hates me for kind of how it all played out, but she also made a decision that affected how it all played out. So, and we'll talk about that relationship later, probably on another show, because I think that one's going to take some time to dive into. And honestly, I don't have enough alcohol to really dive into that one. So anyway, long story short, we take the kiddo, my son. He's the younger of the two, so I have a daughter and a son. Daughter's older, son is younger, by about 3 years. So we take the son on a road trip, and our road trip takes us down the coast of California, and we eventually get to Oceanside, California. And Merlin and I had been talking about, you know, hey, what if we just, why don't we just do, you know, well, let me back up. She always wanted to get married on the beach. That was her, your big dream was to get married on the beach. That was, you told me that you wanted to get married on the beach at sunset.
Well, that was the plan, but that wasn't always my dream. I never really dreamed of marriage. I wasn't one of those young ladies. I dreamed of...
Whatever. Your fairy tale was getting married in the sand on the beach at sunset. So this guy made that happen. And I said, hey, why don't we do this while we're down here?
So we did. We had like a combination marriage, honeymoon, vacation all at one time. And let me tell you guys, for the cost of anything anymore, that's the way to do it. We had such a memorable trip. It was, and we had purchased a short-term, this is before Airbnbs, guys. It was a short-term timeshare. So all the places that we stayed along the way that we had paid for this timeshare prior to, we were able to stay in this immaculate, like,
place. They were condominiums is what they were, basically. They were nice places. And the place on Oceanside was not even a block. It probably... I don't know. I'd say maybe a half a block. Half a block to the beach. And, you know, San Diego beaches are world renowned for just being amazing. So we had several days on the beach and we celebrated one of my sister's birthdays. And then we got married shortly after, like a day or two later, pretty much in the same spot that we had our birthday at. So... We got married down there. My family came out in force, which very cool. It was very nice to have them be a part of Mandy and I saying our vows together and becoming a married couple.
It was a bit overwhelming for me though, because none of my family was there.
No, sadly.
Also, because like you said, they came out in full force. I was worried we were going to get in trouble because we didn't permit our wedding to have that many people on the beach because California has all these weird rules.
Yep.
It all turned out just fine and actually super amazing, and I'm thankful. But it was definitely, there was moments of, for me especially, being very overwhelmed.
Well, and you were pretty young too, you know, like obviously had not gone through it yourself. So,
oh, this is true. And then, you know, you want everything to be perfect. So,
yeah,
for me, I spent $100 getting my hair did. And for those of you that know me, you know, my hair is over the years become more and more textured and curly. And when it gets wet, you know, frizz happens. And it decided it wanted to rain a little before we got married.
Oh yeah.
And everyone was telling me how much of a blessing it was, and all I cared about is that I wanted my hair to look good. And I was already like on strike two because I wear glasses as well. I didn't want to wear glasses for my wedding. I attempted to try contacts. I got one stuck in my eye. So that wasn't an option. So now
that was a hot mess. I remember that now. Yeah.
So now I have messy hair. I have no glasses on because so I can't see very well. And then there's all these people. And so there was moments of being very overwhelmed, which I think is common for most brides. And, you know, right. I don't think I got quite to Bridezilla moment, but there were definitely moments that I felt like I was going to.
Yeah, for sure. But so, you know, fast forwarding a few years, you know, I finished my career in Washington State working as a EMT, firefighter, paramedic, and we moved to Arizona. Started a new career in law enforcement, working in a correctional facility for adult men, and worked there for about 10 years. And I say about, it was probably about 8 years total, but, you know, ran the gamut of, you know, working as just a regular line officer to went into case management, and that included some supervisory tasks and stuff like that. But it was an interesting position for sure. And then after 8-ish years, we moved back to Idaho and kind of started our life all over again. And then that kind of leads us to where we're at today. For the last few years, I've worked in the private security industry, and you know, granted, like, all those skills and trainings don't go away. So, you know, I've worked in the security industry for most of my adult life, if we're really being honest.
Or a public servant. I mean, if there's a lot of transferable skills,
right,
between the two.
Right. So last few years I worked for a company as a corporate manager, and it was really eye-opening to me how much companies take advantage of their employees.
We'll definitely do an episode on that later.
And that'll be a full-on episode. And that company will be the company that shall not be named, right? Just like in the Harry Potter movies, the evil character Voldemort, who shall not be named, that company shall not be named for several reasons, but the main one is I don't want to give them any publicity because they're not worthy of the air that we breathe. Okay, and we'll come back to that. Yeah, we'll come back to that little moniker later. But no, they're just not worthy. And so what has happened is, since moving on from that company, I have moved into a position where I make really good money. I only have to work a couple of days a week. And I have like next to no responsibility. I have zero stress. And it allows me a lot of time to pursue the things that I want to pursue. Like, you know, like the podcast. Like, you know, we've started our own business. We've, you know, and we'll talk more about that as we progress. But leaving that company and moving into what we're doing now has been very, very good for me.
And our relationship.
And our relationship, yeah. The stress level's way, way down. My time home has increased. You know, so now I'm doing, you know, I do the security work. I'm also a bounty hunter. I also do process serving. We also offer private investigation. After the first of the year, I believe we're going to start incorporating what I call tactical training, which essentially, like, if you're in the security industry, there's, you know, your non-lethal skill sets and then your lethal skill sets. So the non-lethals are your handcuffing, your baton, using your tasers and that sort of thing. This year has been a year of getting certified, if you will, where I've gotten my instructor certifications for all of those areas except for firearms. So at the moment, I can teach all of the non-lethals. I'm certified in Washington State to do all of that. And those are all transferable not only in the security industry, but also with bounty hunting and law enforcement, because they're law enforcement level certifications. And it's just a broader spectrum of people that we can impact with that. That's been kind of this year as we're moving through December, you know, I've been reflecting a lot on, you know, what this last year has been. You know, there's been so much that's happened over this last year. And, you know, personally, I'm looking forward to next year and developing and cultivating our business into what we want it to be.
Agreed.
A woman of little words.
Is that a short joke?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think that's that's pretty much about me. What about you? Like, tell us about you. You've had a storied upbringing and life as well. So
yeah, lives are really interesting. Well, I was born in Spokane, Washington. Wasn't planned that way. My mom actually was escaping from an abusive relationship with my biological father. So I ended up being born in Spokane, Washington. But I have to say, I'm very glad that I was. I love the Northwest. I love this area. So as far back as I can remember, it was my mom and my dad, who I later found out was not my biological father. I have one sister that I grew up with. And I have three half-brothers on my biological father's side. So I grew up with my parents until I was 12. And then my parents went through a pretty explosive separation and divorce. And there was violence and all kinds of things happened. both parents married young. And that's also when I found out at 12 that my father was not my biological father. So just imagine that your dad, who raised you for all of your life that you can remember, is just not really your dad. So that was kind of a pivotal time in my life. I didn't feel like I had a lot of support, let's just say that. Due to the legalities of all of that, I did not have a dad in my life anymore. He decided that it was just too difficult to... For whatever reason, he just decided not to be part of my life any longer. However, I was very fortunate that his father, my grandfather, stepped up and was that figure for me and that support. And I'm so thankful. We had an amazing relationship, my grandfather and I learned so much from him. So as a teenager, I was kind of on my own. My sister went and lived with our dad, and my mom was busy working usually 2 to 3 jobs. And so I was just on my own. And that's how it was. I love school. I love to learn. I was always sitting in the front row. I was involved in any extracurricular activity I could get myself involved in because I love it. And I also think that I didn't want to go home. So that was majority of my life. I excelled in science and I excelled in music. I play the violin and the piano pretty fluently. I attempted the guitar.
She's pretty amazing. Don't let her kid you. She's pretty amazing.
I tried the guitar like in my 20s, and that was fun too, but it's true. It's harder to learn new things as you get older. So that was kind of going in. So going up through high school, I took advantage of a new program they had, and I was able to attend college the last 2 years of high school. And so I graduated with my associate's degree at the same time that I graduated from high school. I also enlisted into the United States Navy and was sworn in as a hospital corpsman. And in my prep to go into boot camp, I was required to take some vaccinations, and I had a vaccine injury from one of those vaccinations, which we'll get into in another episode as well.
That's why she's so special. No, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, there's just a lot that kind of dumps into this. So as a result, I did not end up completing my enlistment into the Navy and instead devoted myself to science through healthcare as a physical therapist assistant. And I spent the next 15 years, or actually over 20 years. I keep getting older. I don't know how that happens, but
one day at a time.
Yeah. So I went ahead and really devoted myself, and I feel like I excelled. I've learned a lot over the years. I am a natural healer. I enjoy working with people, and that was the perfect career for me. And that was also around the time that I met Russ. I had already purchased my own home, And I had always told myself that I'm going to live in a stick-built house. I'd never wanted to live in another trailer as long as I was alive. If you know me, you know why.
Well, we've tried very hard to make sure that that happens.
So, I met Russ, and I'm 10 years and 4 days younger than him. So when I met him, I was, of course, worried that he was going to think I was immature, but we all now know that's, like, not true at all.
Yeah.
With all that being said, though, you know, he had baggage, what people will call baggage.
And oh, absolutely.
Because of my childhood, I had always thought I did not want children. So this was very scary to me to have a ready-made family and try to jump into this.
Well, and not only ready-made, but ready-made with all kinds of freaking drama, too, man. Holy crap.
So being the nerd that I am, there's this really cool book that's called How to Marry a Man, His Kids, and His Ex-Wife. And it is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But also very helpful. There's also another great book for any of you step-parents out there called Why Do They Act That Way?
Right.
And I'm not joking. It's actually a really great book built around neuroscience of the teenage brain and why they make such bad decisions. There's a reason for that. So Russ and I, we got married and married our families. And I continued my education. I'm at a graduate degree now. And I've made a career pivot. Yep. So after
very,
that.
Very, very proud of you.
Thanks. After that 20 years in healthcare, you know, the world kind of turned upside down and did this crazy COVID thing. And my hesitation with vaccines over the years is very real. And so I unfortunately lost a very good job that I had because I was not willing to commit to that vaccine. And since then, I'll be really honest with you, my career journey has been a little bit of a struggle because I finished my degree right in 2020. And so I went from having this 20 years of knowledge base and pivoting that into a new industry. And that can be a real challenge. I don't discourage anybody from doing it. I just think that there are probably much different ways that you can go about it that might be more successful than the way I have done it. And so I don't want to discourage you. I think that it's very important for everybody to acknowledge that you don't have to stay in one career for your entire life. In fact, I think that would be quite boring.
Nope.
So
I can't tell you how many quote unquote careers I've had in my lifetime. You know, like everything's been essentially in the same category, although different, right?
True. You know? No, it's true.
And you look back on that stuff.
What do I want to say about careers? Well, my train of thought has kind of gotten thrown off now.
Sorry!
I feel like the most important thing is that you do something that you are passionate about, obviously that you're good at or can grow with, or you have a mentor to help you. I've had so many mentors over the years that I'm so thankful for. And that might be some of my challenges that I'm fighting a little bit against what I know to be true and also what I would like to be true. Plus, there's that whole recession thing and making enough money to live and all that good stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, there's always that.
Right.
Gotta live. Gotta be able to afford the groceries for sure.
But all things said and done, like if I look back now at my life and all the struggles, sure, I would have loved to be in a family that had both parents at home with no disruption in the family unit. Sure, I would love to have had a dad my entire life. Sure, I would have loved to have the opportunity to have children. Here's the thing. If I look back, I've grown so much from all of those experiences. I was blessed to have the opportunity to be a step-parent at all and have any kind of interaction with children, which, by the way, Russ's kids are pretty great. And I don't know that I would change it either. I really don't. I feel like each moment passes for a reason. We learn these things for a reason.
Right.
I don't know. Did I forget anything? It's kind of, yeah. I'm going to be really honest with you. When you're talking about your own childhood and trauma and stuff, it's kind of, it's disruptive to your thought process. So I probably skipped over a lot, and that's, trust me, that's a good thing.
Well, I think the big takeaway is that you're amazing and that you're just an incredible person, you know, and hopefully as we go through these episodes, you know, like everyone else will agree with me that you're pretty fucking amazing. Like, yeah. And you know, maybe I'm biased, but
you're totally biased. You're totally. Well,
but and that's okay because I'm on your team and you're on my team. And that's all that matters in this game we call life. You know, realistically, what it comes down to is me and you against the world, really. You know, like.
That's true. You know, one thing I just want to revisit. I should mention growing up that although I was in gifted classes home, my mother is dyslexic. And that was a challenge when you're trying to read and learn as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But also additionally challenging for, I think, the parent. I had some really great people in my life. My mom always encouraged me. If I wanted to reach for the stars, she would tell me I could reach for the stars. She mm-hmm. never told me I could not achieve something.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, my love for the environment and being in nature comes from my grandfather. He always said if he didn't meet my grandmother, he would have been a mountain man. And I learned so much from him because that's where we spent most of our time. And though he was so supportive of me growing and learning and not being reliant on someone else, that he would call me and use a word from the dictionary and I had to use it in a sentence. And he encouraged me and told me that I was worthy of going to college when I was scared. Nobody in my family had gone to college. At all. So, I mean, those are some pivotal things that I really need to make sure everybody knows about.
Absolutely. Well, and speaking of your college experiences, you have two associate's degrees, correct? A bachelor's degree.
Yes.
And a master's degree.
Yes. So I have a certificate in massage therapy, a certificate in aesthetics, Associate of Applied Science and Physical Therapy, Associate of Liberal Arts, a Bachelor's of Science in Disability Studies, and a Master's in Business Administration.
And that's an Executive Master's of Business, right?
Yes.
That's like the creme de la creme. That's like, you know, going on The Apprentice to, you know, duke it out with other incredibly intelligent people. And I'm so blessed to have you in my life.
Thank you. I have imposter syndrome pretty severely, so I don't feel like I'm in that caliber of people. But I definitely have the capability to get there, and I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, and I hope I'm pushing you in a good way, you know, to get out of your comfort zone. Because I know that's been a topic of conversation of ours.
I think it's hard for anybody to move past their comfort zone. As an adult, it's hard. And then as you get to be like middle age, like us, it's even more of a challenge to go past your comfort zone.
Definitely.
So it's important to have those people in your life that push you. And I appreciate you.
Well, good. Well, and I sure appreciate you. Is there anything else that you want to add as we're bringing this episode to a close?
In summary, I would just say the importance of acknowledging your similarities and differences and appreciating them in a relationship is so important, and not to take that for granted, even though sometimes it can get really frustrating and at times disappointing, but we can recover from that.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I know, you know, throughout our time together, I've probably been a bigger disappointment to you than you have to me. And, you know, I operate like a child, so I guess there's that. Maybe I watched Peter Pan too many times and just didn't want to grow up.
You know, that's life too, but you're also very patient, and Brewster has this calmness about him. We actually joked about when there's emergencies. Physiologically, his body does opposite of what my body does. So I go straight into fight or flight. Everything's going crazy. Russ's blood pressure comes down. He's able to just manage things. And I feel like that's why he's so good in the positions that he's in. But we also complement each other in those ways. Because when there's moments, like when our dog was sick and he's like, oh, we'll just give him a few days and see how he does. And I'm like, no, he's really sick. He needs to go to the vet now. That's when we even each other out. So there's pros and cons.
Well, and to be fair, as you were saying that, he started coughing up blood. So on her birthday 2 years ago now.
It was my 40th birthday.
Well, I wasn't going to throw you under the bus, but.
It was a milestone birthday.
2 years ago on her birthday. Junior decides he wants to go for a walkabout.
More like a runabout. We're going out the door for my birthday breakfast.
Yep.
And he goes darting out and goes out into the busy street. And as I'm running after him, right before my eyes, a pickup truck runs right over the top of him.
Well, to be fair, he ran to the pickup truck. So
bottom line, he got ran over by a pickup truck.
I mean, I'm not trying to minimize it, but yeah, no, he got run over. He got rolled. He got some pretty good road rash on the inside of his legs. And, you know, when it was all said and done, you know, he had a bruised lung and probably some cracked ribs. But all in all, as we were having the discussion, you know, my take was, well, let's keep an eye on him. Let's keep an eye on him and see what he does. And as we're driving back to the house to put him back inside, literally as we pull into the driveway of the house, you know, Mandy, of course, she's extremely upset. She's flipping out on me like, no, we need to take him to the vet. Well, you know, Baxter, our child, if you will, decides, you know, he's going to start spitting up blood. And of course, it's that frothy pink, not to gross anybody out, but that frothy pink that indicates that that's lung butter and serious. So recognizing that it was serious, I said, nope, you're right. We're going to the vet. And we went to the vet. You know, we both were concerned that we were going to have to put our dog of 3 years down. You know, actually, it's actually kind of interesting. Like to this day, the vet that treated him on that day is still his vet and still really enjoys Baxter when he comes into the office. And
Baxter knows him as well.
Oh, and, absolutely. And I will say
that Baxter nowadays, when we go for a walk, just the sound of vehicles, it scares him, obviously. So I'm pretty certain he's learned his lesson. We don't take any chances now of him. And he doesn't even really try to dart out the door, actually.
Not anymore. No, that was a lesson learned on his part, I think.
It was still scary. Yeah. I was just so sobbing. And I was uncontrollably sobbing. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat that. That some lady that I didn't even know came up to me and said, I don't know you. I hope everything's going to be okay. Can I give you a hug? It was awful.
Right. No, anyway, so not to leave everybody on a sad note.
Baxter is doing absolutely wonderful. He has his 6th birthday coming up in February.
Oh, and he's full of piss and vinegar too, boy. Let me tell you.
Full of it. I just love the shit out of that guy.
Full of it.
But he snuggles really good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, he loves his snuggle time. He loves his mommy time. He loves his daddy time. And
he's super bougie, though. And it is funny because he had a hard life, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we got him, anyway. We'll talk about Baxter in another episode.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about him in the next one. But, you know, just in closing, if you are in our world, if you're in our universe, or even if you're outside of it and you know how to get in touch with us and you want to be on the show, if you have something you want to share with the world, or if you want to come on and talk about relationships or whatnot, we would absolutely love that. We would encourage that. You know, I think we have a similar but different take on life, maybe like most people.
Well, that's why we wanted to open this up about ourselves is just to show you lifestyle wise.
Mm.
You know, we're middle aged people who have experienced divorce from two different angles.
Mm-hmm.
I was a child, grew up as a child of divorce. I married a man who's been divorced. I have been a step parent. Russ has been a single parent. We've had relationship issues with each other going through the seasons of marriage, which, by the way, are completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
And have tried to work through and overcome that. We've had multiple jobs, multiple careers.
Yep.
We've had some education, no education. We've just covered so much in life so that we don't, I feel like it's important that you don't pigeonhole yourself and just know that there are other people that experience things too.
Well, that and what you're going through right now, you know, as our audience, if you will, We may have gone through that. We may be going through that. We may know people that have gone through what you're going through. And I'm not trying to say that we're definitely not the be all to end all.
Oh, definitely.
When it comes to, you know, all things related to life. However, I will say that between the two of us and between the people that we know and care about and love and talk to on a regular basis, there's a lot of knowledge that can be shared that, you know, the old adage of, you know, had I known then what I know now, I may have made different life choices. Well, absolutely. You know, 100%. Both of us can look back on particular points in our lives where had we known, you know, then in the moment that whatever decision we were making at that time was going to catapult us one direction or another, knowing what we know now could absolutely have changed our lives for the better or for the worse.
So as Rooster had said before, if you are going to follow along with us on this journey, and we hope that you do, you can find us on Instagram at, what's the handle?
It's roosters_nest208. You can also email us at theroostersnestpodcast@gmail.com. And I believe it, I don't know that we're fully set up quite yet, but we're working on getting Patreon set up, and it should be the same as the Gmail. It'll be listed as The Rooster's Nest Podcast on Patreon. Hopefully, you'll be able to pick us up wherever you get your podcasts. I know for a fact we're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, we're on a bunch of others. We're working on Apple Podcasts currently. That one apparently takes a little bit of time to get into, but through our feed, we're able to connect with many, many people on many, many different platforms. And that, to me personally, that's pretty exciting. So I'm pretty excited to see where this journey takes us. And, you know, like I say in the intro, I think we're all a lot more alike than we think. So, you know, with all the turmoil happening in the world, you know, we our hearts go out to those that are in conflict. And, you know, we hope that peace and love will prevail on the other side. Until next time.
Cheers, my friends.
Take care.